The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So as I begin this series of messages regarding stewardship, I want you to take in these testimonies, because this is an example of what stewardship is all about, touching the lives of other people in incredible ways. All of you have been a part of what's happened in Tina's life. She unchurched, didn't know really what church was all about, except for the fact that she knew that it's a place where people would go to seek God. And she made a commitment to God, and He fulfilled His part, and He continues to do that. But He's doing that through the people here at Bethel. So we're all part of this thing, and we're all part of what the Bible calls a steward. And we're going to expand on that and talk more about it. But to begin with, I want to let you know that this series of messages is entitled Loyal Hearts. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, beginning with verse 1, we're going to read this morning. Don't often read directly out of the Bible, but usually have it on the screen for everyone. But hopefully you have your Bible with you, or you have your device with the Bible on it, so that we can read together. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning with verse 1. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord. And now, for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance." David is making a point here. He did not spare his wealth. He's gathered up all these wonderful things for the building of the temple. "Moreover, because I have set my affections on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold of the gold of Ophrah, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house. The gold for things of gold, and silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord." David's asking the congregation, what are you going to do? "Then the leaders of the father's house, leaders of the tribe of Israel, captains of the thousands and hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 dakris of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, into the hand of Jeiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly." They offered willingly. This is extremely important that we recognize that what was going on here is a willing desire of people who had a loyal heart toward one another, but not only toward one another, but toward David and the Lord. They understood that the leadership was committed to building this structure, this temple. And I'd like to just share with you at this moment the reality that the leadership of this church is committed to this body. When it comes to our stewardship campaign, our impact campaign, we're all in. Every one of us. We're all giving to this campaign. We've all made pledges. Now, we don't ask people to give any certain amount. We make some suggestions, give you can what you can do and the possibilities. But we leave that between you and God when it comes to your campaign pledge. And we ask you to do this. We ask you to pledge not so much because we believe that we're going to hold you to that pledge, but what we ask of you is that you seek God and you hear what God is saying to you, and you can pledge whatever He speaks to your heart. This is all about people with loyal hearts. That loyal not only to the Lord, I know you're all loyal to the Lord, but you know, we're also loyal to this body. Are you loyal to the leadership? Are you loyal to Pastor Rob? Are you loyal to Pastor Otis and Bill and Joanne and Otis and Ivy and Tammy and myself because we're the elders of this church? Are you loyal to the deacons who work and labor in this congregation on behalf of all the people here? Every month they meet and they make decisions, financial decisions that take not just a will to decide, but a will to pray and seek God's desire for how we're supposed to handle these funds. It's not an easy task that they've been given as deacons of this church. In fact, right now, what I'd like for you to do is, I'd like for all the deacons who are here this morning to please stand. Joy is our head deacon. Not only was she directing that impact campaign, but she was also our head deacon for quite a while now. All right. Tina's up there. She is also deacon, deaconess. But you can see, let's give these people a hand because they do such a fantastic job. Thank you, guys. They are committed to you here at this church. And our desire is to make sure that the needs of the congregation, this body, are met. So if you have needs, you have to let those needs be known. And if you will let those needs be known, I can guarantee you if it's within our capacity to do it, those needs will be met. That's the kind of leadership that you have here at Bethel. Now, a loyal heart, the Hebrew word here, shalom, completely, it means completely safe, peaceful, perfect, whole, full. It speaks of a person who faithfully keeps a covenant relationship with others, with God or with other people. So what God is calling us to, in regards to our stewardship campaign and what God desires for us, is that we will have a loyal heart toward one another. And part of that loyal heart is to be a part of our stewardship campaign. We ask you, and we make no bones about, as your pastor, I make no bones about the fact that I believe that if you are committed to this church and you believe in this church, you'll make some sort of a pledge. It may not be a large amount. We're not asking you to give anything that you do not have. We're asking you to be loyal to this body and help us pay off this debt that we have. Praise God, what we have accomplished so much. Over $500,000 have already been paid down. About $600,000, actually, on this building. I know when we first established the ministry here and we decided we were going to build this building and it was going to cost $1 million+, people were just flabbergasted that we would spend that much money. Well, listen to me. You can't just build a building. You have to get the state involved. You have to have architectural plans. You have to have certified builders to do the work. You have to do things the way the state tells you to do it, like put double 5/8 drywall on the inside and outside of the sanctuary walls. All those things were extremely, extremely expensive. But we felt that this was what God wanted us to do, was build this facility. And the people of the church were on board with that. And we had an exciting time. I'm going to share some things throughout this message. I want to share a few things with you of how we've come to this place. But regardless of what happens in the future, this is just a building. We're thankful for it. I praise God. But no matter what would happen in the future, this is the body. This is the church. We are united together. Our loyal hearts are connected to one another. And yes, I'm asking you, as we go through this campaign, I'm asking you to make a commitment. And there'll be commitment cards, there'll be letters going out, there'll be opportunity for you to pray about it. I don't want anybody to make a quick decision. I want you to pray about it and ask God what He desires for you to do. For some of you, it'll be a small amount, but it'll still be a sacrifice. I know that. And that's okay. That's what loyal hearts is all about. Having a loyal heart means that you're going to make a commitment that you feel God is telling you to give, and it may be a sacrifice, but you will follow through with it because you have a loyal heart. Others in here have the ability to give more. And God will just speak to your heart to be, and you will do what God tells you to do. I want to tell you, over the years, God, just about every campaign, God has spoken to Tammy and myself, and we've increased the amount that we give. And I love all of you very much, but I am committed to this church, so I doubt that there's anybody in here that's giving more than I do into this stewardship campaign. There may be, but I don't believe there is. For those of you who are committed to this church and you're giving everything you can give, you're doing what God told you to do, you will be blessed beyond measure for doing what God told you to do. I don't care if it's $2. You teenagers, you guys can be involved with this. Maybe you think, well, I don't have much money. Well, if you have any kind of income at all, you can be involved with our stewardship campaign and let God speak to you about what you're supposed to give. And you will be blessed because of it. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. It's not too early to learn to be a tither and a giver in the kingdom of God. I don't care how old you are. Amen? This scripture tells us that the people not only gave willingly, but they gave willingly because they had a covenant relationship with God and a covenant relationship with David and the leaders of Israel. If we listen to the philosophy of the world, you will not give into our stewardship campaign. The world's philosophy is get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. Amen? God's philosophy is much different than that. In fact, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist organization, he also had a can philosophy. And this is what his can philosophy was. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That's the can philosophy I like, because it's based on the Word of God. John Wesley's philosophy was taken right out of Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The same measure will be measured back to you. God, now, here's what we must understand, that when we talk about this same measure, it's not saying that you're going to get back exactly what you put in. Jesus was telling us, he was trying to give us an illustration that if you will give as you're supposed to give, if you'll give everything you can possibly give, it'll be given back to you in abundance. Because that's the way God's kingdom works. But a measure is whatever it is that you have at the time to give. Recently, while Tammy was out of town, somehow the measuring cup in our coffee pot got changed from an eighth of a cup to a half a cup. So I didn't pay any attention. I made me a pot of coffee. It was the strongest pot of coffee I've ever had. I measured wrong. I had the wrong measuring cup. Now listen, you can't have the wrong measuring cup in the kingdom of God if you do what he tells you to do. But I can tell you this, the amount that I put in, I got back a lot more than I expected. You can too. You can get back a lot more than you put in. That's the philosophy that Jesus is talking about here when he's talking about giving. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Listen to what it says. It says it's going to be given back to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over more than you can even handle. Why? So that you can distribute even more. That's what it's all about. It's about establishing God's kingdom in this earth and spreading it around. And it's not just financial blessings. It's not financial stewardship. We're talking about stewarding your life in such a way that people will look at you and know that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. The blessings of God will be on you wherever you go. We're talking about stewarding your relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your co-workers. We're talking about stewarding all relationships. We're talking about stewarding your life with your material goods. We're talking about stewarding your financial giving and your financial, the way you handle your finances. Biblical principles will not fail you if you will listen to the Bible. Apply them to your life. We've been able to, over the years, to really rejoice together with our stewardship campaign, the many things that God has done for us and continues to do. We are just so thankful that God just supernaturally meets our needs. No one's ever been pressured or manipulated. I detest people who manipulate others, particularly pastors or leaders, spiritual leaders who manipulate people into doing things and giving. I don't have to manipulate anybody. Our God is in control. And I don't like it when somebody feels like they're manipulated. So if you feel that way in our campaign, come and see me and talk to me, because we do not want that to happen. We don't want you to feel like you're pressured in any way. We want you to be free to do as God speaks to your heart. When David was preparing for Solomon to build the temple, the people pledged and then they followed up with their pledge. And this is the same concept that we've used with our stewardship campaign. We ask you to pledge, and then you follow up with your pledge. And I know, you know, there are, let me say this. There's been times where people have made a commitment, and for some reason or another, they have not been able to fulfill that commitment. You know, they lost a job or something happened. Listen, that's why the commitment is between you and God and not you and Pastor Rob. If something happens, that's between you and God. You know, I always tell people, you know, if something takes place in your life that changes Ask God what to do. We release you to do whatever you feel like God needs you to do in any particular situation. But I can tell you this, I've had testimony after testimony of people who have said, you know, it looked like I wasn't going to be able to keep my pledge, my commitment, and God miraculously came through because they had been faithful up to that point. God is able, and He will continue to do so. According to Scripture, we're to be good stewards. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. A steward is a biblical reference to modern-day manager. In many cases, a manager these days, sometimes they're the owner, but most often, the person who is managing a department store or a restaurant or something is doing so on behalf of those, a corporation or someone who, another owner. And that's exactly the case of the biblical stewardship, because all that we think we own actually belongs to God. And that's going to be my first point. I'm probably only going to get through that point this morning. All that we own belongs to God. Lawrence Funderburk, a former NBA player who also helped lead Ohio State to Big Ten championship in 1992, wrote a book, Stewardship Playbook. And we met Lawrence in Athens. Was that last year or 2 years? Was last year? Okay. At a men's conference. Awesome guy. He loves the Lord, and he's a financial he ministers to people financially, and a financial counselor, and he's written this awesome book. But here's what he says. He said in his book, we don't do God a favor by being frugal. I want to make sure everybody hears that. We don't do God a favor by being frugal. That's another way of saying stingy. You know, he's being nice. I can elaborate on that a little bit. We're not doing God a favor by storing up everything that we have for a rainy day. And that's what we've all been taught. You know, you got to be prepared for a rainy day. Yeah, you know, there's certain wisdom in that. But we're not doing God a favor by being stingy with the things that He has allowed us to have in this world. But we do experience His supernatural favor when we're fruitful in what He has entrusted under our care, stewarding our time, talents, temperament, temple of the Holy Spirit, and treasures for His glory. So, how are we good stewards when we manage well? I'm totally convinced the reason God has blessed this church so much over the years is because we keep pouring out as it pours in. We keep pouring into people's lives. You heard testimonies already this morning. You'll hear a lot more. We keep pouring into people's lives. We keep pouring into ministries all over the world. We're supporting ministries that are ministering in Africa and Haiti and various places all over the world. They're meeting people's needs, and we're pouring into those every month. We give a huge amount of money from our budget into other ministries that are doing good works, not only across in Africa and other parts of the world, but right here in the United States, right here locally. We're supporting local ministries, good works, the Crisis Pregnancy Center, drug rehab facilities. We're doing a work in our extended community. And then we're doing the same thing right here in our community with our Hearts and Hands clothing store, thrift store, with our food pantry. Praise God. You know, by the way, Janet, she puts lots of time and effort in our Hearts and Hands store. And praise God, if you happen to have some time to devote to that, I know she could use your help. Amen? Definitely. Yes. And of course, Tony and Christy, they're handling our food pantry. And they're doing a great job with that. Praise God. Our desire is to just keep meeting people's needs in regards to both of those things. People come into that thrift store, and I've shopped there a little bit. I need to go back down and do some more shopping. It's incredible the deals you can get there. It's good stuff. They don't keep the junk. They keep the good stuff. That's why she needs your help to sort through that stuff. She's being a good steward. And we're trying our best to be a good steward. But I'm totally convinced that God continues to bless us because of that. Now, I want to tell you something. Here, I find this funny, but I have had people ask me in the past. Because this church is able to do so much and we are blessed, I've had people ask me, who is it that underwrites your church? As if there's some millionaire out there, a billionaire, that has taken us on as the project. And when I tell them, well, God and the people of the church. Yeah, amen. They don't believe me. They really don't. You know what? I can understand that. It is a supernatural miracle that we're able to do everything that we do from this place in Meigs County, Ohio. So I can understand their being skeptical toward us. But it's a testimony of what God can do with a group of people who have no other agenda except to serve God and build His kingdom. And that spreads the love of God abroad. Everywhere we go, people see it, they hear it, and they trust it. This body of believers, it truly is an example of what biblical stewardship is all about. And as we continue to go through this, I want to encourage you once again. Just serve the Lord. Hear what God has today to say to you. When it comes to spirit stewardship, I want to share a few things with you. This morning, I'm going to start getting into stewardship. But in order to do so, first of all, we have to establish some groundwork. So my first point this morning is God owns it all. I've already touched on that just a little bit. But it's very important that we recognize that what the things that we think we have, and that includes your spouse, your family, your children, your relationships, everything that we think we have control over really belongs to God. Everything. Your material goods, your finances, your home, all of it. And we must get to the point where we recognize this is God's, this is not mine. Therefore, when we come to that place, then God can use us in some incredible ways. Psalms 104, verse 24 says, O Lord, how manifold are your works and wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Psalms 50:10. All the cattle, not just 1,000 hills. That's not what it's saying. The cattle everywhere, all the beasts of the forest, everything that is created is God's. Everything that we think we create is God's. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, in that same chapter that I read this morning, verse 16, it says this, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. David recognized who owned it all. God was blessing him, allowing him to use it while he was on the face of the earth. But David wanted to make sure that everyone understood it's God's. And the reason we have it is because he has given it to us to use and to be good stewards. This is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And he was talking about all the things that the world chases after, what they want, what they desire, the material goods. He said, look, if you'll seek the kingdom of God, your God will take care of everything else. Seek him. God the Father has the ability to pull from his resources, world, everything that he has ever created, pull from his resources to meet your needs. And that's where we have to come to grips with the things that we think we own, because it's God's. You know, a few years ago, Bethel went through some, we went through some financial difficulties. We had a time where we had people who became disgruntled for one reason or another. Sometimes it doesn't take much. And, you know, it starts here and then it goes over here and then it's over there. And we had a group of people that decided that they didn't want to be here any longer. So they left. And when they left, of course, that did some damage to us financially. We had been able to operate based on the income of the people who was here. And when they left, we had a difficult time. So now here's what I want to point out to you is the character of the people who are in the leadership of this church. Because in many times when things like that happen and the finances go down, the first thing that the boards or elders or deacons or whatever churches call their leaders, the first thing they want to do is slash missions. Get rid of those missions because, you know, it's not helping us any. Well, I want you to understand the character of your leadership. That was not their first thought. Their first thought was, let's go to prayer and ask God to meet our needs. And we began to pray and fast and seek God. And because God is such a faithful God, he came through for us. We belong to the SOMA organization, we have sister churches, and some of those churches stepped up and they realized the things we were going through, and they made some donations to us, some offerings. Praise God. I'm not ashamed of that. That's the body of Christ working toward to help one another. We've done the same in the past with others. And then not long after that, the finances, and I'm telling you, it was miraculous. The finances miraculously started picking up. We didn't have a whole lot of new people at that particular time, but the finances just started picking up, and God started blessing. Now, God has blessed with new people in this congregation, and hallelujah, I'm so thankful for everyone who comes and gives, and you're faithful to be a part of this ministry. And we're doing things for the kingdom of God. But God can show himself faithful even in the difficult times. That's why I'm saying loyal hearts. Loyal hearts is what we're looking for. And that's what God's looking for. Loyal hearts. People who will give loyally and stand on the word of God. Listen. When it comes to stewardship, you must settle this issue in your heart. Does it belong to God, or are you still just hanging on to it? Whatever it is, I can tell you how you can tell. Here's one of the ways, and it's probably a lot of different ways, but here's one of the ways you can tell whether you are still hanging on or whether you have relinquished all what you think you own, which God owns, to Him and to His Lordship. If you have something that you can do without, you may not want to do without it, but if you have something that you can do without, and your brother and sister or sister has a need for that, and you don't want to give it up, guess who owns that? But if you're willing to relinquish that and allow God to use that thing or money or resource or whatever it is to bless somebody else, you've allowed God to be Lord, Jesus Christ, to be Lord over that thing in your life. And that's a person with a loyal heart. Jesus is Lord over every area of your life. And whatever Jesus is Lord over, He's responsible for. Now that's why we must have a loyal heart toward Him and recognize that God owns it all. Because whatever the Lord is not, whatever Jesus is not Lord over, He's not responsible for. If you've not allowed Him to be Lord over your family, He's not responsible for it. If you've not allowed Jesus to be Lord over your workplace, your marketplace, He's not responsible for it. If you've not allowed Him to be Lord over all your relationships, He's not responsible for it. If He's not Lord over your finances, He's not responsible for it. He wants to be responsible for it. And if we'll allow Him to be Lord over every area of our life and allow Him to keep control, not try to take control back from Him, then He can bless us in every area of our life. Stand with me. I'm going to wrap up right there. We're going to talk about other aspects of stewardship as we go through this stewardship campaign. I'm going to share some stories with you about the church, and I'm going to be talking about some things of the past and how we have come to where we are right now. And I want you to understand something. I don't talk about the past because I want to live in the past. I talk about the past only because it builds our faith for the future. God has done some incredible things with this church and for this church, but that's just the beginning of what God wants to do in our lives as a congregation and in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'm going to have a word of prayer. If you're watching through our streaming program, we appreciate you being with us this morning. God bless. If you have any questions, anything that we can do for you, please contact us here at the church. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you help us to be good stewards of everything that you have given us. You have given us biblical principles. And our desire, Lord, is to be about your will, to build your kingdom, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for touching hearts, stirring us. Help us to be faithful to you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.